is Joyce Community Church, where you can wake up to the love of God, grow in Christ, and step out in service. You are listening to our weekly sermon featuring Pastor John Kyler.
Well, I think this week we officially step out of summer and into September. And that comes with a lot of promise and excitement, maybe also a little apprehension and a tinge of sadness. It's a week of transition, a week of new beginnings. And as we do that, we turn to this astonishing and bold promise that Jesus gives to his people in John 14. Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Although the disciples most likely didn't fully understand what Jesus was talking about, perhaps they were a little clueless, they too were stepping into a fresh start, a new beginning, one that would bring significant change, the death of Jesus. The promise ought to excite and thrill us, make us a little bit nervous. It's a promise that gets repeated four times over the next three chapters in John's Gospel. It comes in the context of what is known as Jesus' dying hour discourse. Who does not pay attention to the last words of a dying man? This discourse here in this moment, Jesus is tying together the point of his whole ministry. He's preparing the disciples for his impending death, and he emphasizes a number of things. One, his union with the Father. Believe that I am in the Father and that he is in me. Our union with Jesus. I am the vine. You are the branches. Abide in me. He emphasizes that the coming of the Holy Spirit, who makes all this possible. He prepares the disciples for the persecution that will follow, and he pledges that the Holy Spirit will strengthen them and stand with them in their difficult time. And in the center of all of it comes this idea of prayer. Ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. In this week of transitions, as a church, as a faith community, we're also stepping into a new season of ministry together. And I want to raise our commitment to being a people of prayer. It's a theme that I hope to, Lord willing, return to again and again as we move through the year. But this morning, I just want to talk about this idea of asking God for what we need. Like it or not, asking is the way of the kingdom. Confidence, our confidence in God as a prayer-hearing God is central to the whole scheme of the Bible. To Moses, God said, "The cries of my people have come up to me." Through Isaiah, he said, "Before they call to me, I will answer." And Jeremiah said, "Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." The psalmist wrote, "You who answer prayer, to you all people will turn." Jesus said, "If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Apostle Paul wrote, "In everything, let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving in your heart." Peter said, "Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you." James, the brother of Jesus, wrote, "You do not have because you do not ask." God longs, has orchestrated all of it so that we would draw near to him, that we would place our trust and confidence in him and believe that he is a God who not only hears but answers prayer. The prayer-hearing God, the idea of God who hears and answers prayers is the bedrock, the foundation of Scripture. The whole story is a story of God searching for friendship among his creation. It's the dynamic that drives our relationship with God as a church and as individuals. Scan the Scriptures from beginning to end, and you'll see that there are various ways to pray. Abraham questioned, "Is there but one righteous man? Would you not spare?" Jacob wrestled, Miriam sang, David danced, Hannah pleaded. Prayer is essential to and the essence of our union with God. It's the source of the life that we're looking for. Philip Yancey wrote, "If prayer stands as that place where God and human beings meet, then I must learn about prayer. Most of my struggles in the Christian life circle around the same two themes: why God doesn't act the way I want him to, and why I don't act the way God wants me to." Prayer is that precise point where those two things come together. If God hears prayer, then he also is a God who answers prayer. And perhaps that's where the challenge lays, right there, in the idea not so much that God hears, but rather our confidence in his willingness to answer our prayers. Consider Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. "Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And anyone who comes near to him must believe that he exists." So far, so good. "And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes near to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. Question: what is your expectation of God answering your prayers? Are your prayers vague in general, so that you would not know if they were answered or not? Are your prayers vague in general because you don't really expect God to answer them? Or are they vague in general just so that way you won't be disappointed when they're not answered? If God is a God who hears prayer and longs to answer our prayers, the obvious response to that, of course, is praying. But at least my experience of prayer is that it's kind of a expanding, contracting, ever-morphing reality. Just recently, over the summer, I realized that a lot of my prayer life was like tapping my finger on the table, just trying to get God's attention. God, remember when your kids were little and they'd stand in and pull at your pant leg and say, Dad, Dad.
What?
Sometimes my prayer life falls into that kind of seemingly empty petition just to get his attention. Other times I realize that I think I'm praying, but actually I'm not praying. I'm just letting all of my worries radiate through the top of my head. That's not really praying either. God says, before they call, I will answer. Do we actually expect God to answer our requests? He says he will. Do we anticipate the answer is coming, that he is responding to us before the words even leave our lips? Paul writes to the Philippians, the Lord is near. Don't be anxious. But in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, does Paul mean that I should have petitions and prayers and thanksgivings to my request? Or is he saying, as you offer up your prayers and petitions, do so with thanksgiving because the answer is coming? And so the question, do we know that God, do we pray to a God who is eager to approach him and who is eager for us to approach him and who rewards those who seek him? So we have the instruction to pray. We know that God hears us when we pray, but there's the reality and challenge of actually praying. If Jesus promised that he would do whatever we ask in his name, why is my batting average so low? Now we know that the idea of praying in Jesus' name is not a magic formula. It's not like the Alibaba and the 40 thieves who stand before a cave and said, open sesame, and the cave opens up. It doesn't quite work that way. It's an interesting story in the book of Acts. Paul had been going around healing and casting out demons, and some other guys saw this and said, this is pretty cool, let me try this. So they walk up to some people who are possessed, and they say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. And one day they did this, and an evil spirit says to them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And then the man jumped on them, who had the spirits, jumped on them and overwhelmed them and beat them, and they ran away naked and bleeding. To kind of assume that you have the character of Jesus when you pray in Jesus' name, that's kind of... tells us that our prayer life doesn't exist in a vacuum, that it's related to everything that we are and everything that God is, and he doesn't respond so much to prayers as he does to the people who pray them, to our whole life. They can't be separated. Prayer is the communication, as Bingham Hunter says, the communication of the whole persons to the wholeness, which is the living God. We're invited to pray. And throughout those chapters of John 13 through 16, Jesus is emphasizing this, a prayer life that flows from a relationship with Jesus. The context is union with Christ. He says in 15, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. It's conditional. If you remain in me. If my words remain in you. If you reside here in who I am. And remember that I am, if you've seen the Father, you have seen me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's a union between Jesus and the Father that he now says we can be a part of through our union with him. If you remain in me. He goes on to say that this remaining, this abiding in Christ is about keeping his commands. If you remain in my love, verses 19 through 16, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. The condition is obedience, of loving. And he says, keep my commands. And what's his command? My command is this, that you love one another as I have loved you. So there's a divine component and there's a human component, and those things go together. Jesus will go on to say that I no longer call you servants because servants don't know what their master's business is. Instead, I'll call you friends because everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And then comes the promise that you will be fruitful. You did not choose me, he writes, but I chose you and appointed you that you might bear fruit, fruit that will last. So you ask whatever you, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Prayer in Jesus' name is a prayer that is consistent with and reveals the character of Jesus. Praying in Jesus' name means getting caught up in the things of God and asking as Jesus' agent, praying prayers that he himself would pray and is praying in you. It's about trust, it's about abiding, it's about loving in community, it's about bringing glory to the Father. There's a wonderful story in the Old Testament out of the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 18. Story about the prophet Elijah who goes to visit King Ahab, and when he arrives, Ahab says, why have you come to bother me again, you troubler of Israel? And Elijah says, I'm not the one who's troubling Israel, it's you, because you have led the people astray and you're worshiping false gods and you are not loyal. You have abandoned the Lord's commands, he writes, or says, and have followed Baals. And so Elijah says, well, this is what I want you to do, Ahab. I want you to go to Jezebel, and I want you to gather all the prophets of Baal and all the prophets of Asherah, and we'll gather them together. And so Ahab does that, and they meet up on Mount Carmel. And there's 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. And then Elijah says, okay, I got this idea. So we're going to both build altars to God, and then we're both going to pray, and we're going to see whose God answers. So that's what they did. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, you choose one of your bulls, prepare it. Since there's so many of us, you call on his name first, but don't light the fire. And then, so that's what they did. They prepared the altar and they set the bull up on it. And then in the morning, they began to cry out to Baal, Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. And no one answered. So then they began to dance around the altar that they had made. This went on till about noontime, and Elijah began to taunt them, said, maybe you guys should try shouting louder. Maybe then Baal will hear you. Surely he is a god, right? But there was no result. Well, maybe he's deep in thought and he's not really paying attention, or he's busy, or he's traveling, or maybe he's just asleep and you got to wake him up. So they shouted louder. And then they began to cut themselves with swords and spears and until their blood flowed. And then it was middle of the day, and they continued in this frantic prophesying until the time of evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here." And they came, and they repaired the altar of the Lord, which the prophets had formerly torn down, and he took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes of Israel that had descended from Jacob, whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." And with those stones he built an altar to the name of the Lord, and then he dug a trench around it, and then he took the wood and he arranged it, and he cut the bull into pieces, and he laid it on the wood, and then he filled 4 large water jars and poured it on the offering and the wood. And then he said to those who were helping him, "Do it again." And they filled those jars up and they poured it on the sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, "Do it again." And they filled up those jars and they poured it on the sacrifice and on the wood. And it filled up the trenches and was overflowing. And then at the time of the sacrifice, Elijah stepped up and he said, "Lord, God of Abraham and Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are the God in Israel." Fire came down and burned up the sacrifice and the wood and the stones, and it licked up all the water in the trench. When the people saw this, they fell down and cried, "Lord, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." A prayer hearing God implies that God is a living God, that He is a personal God, that He is a powerful God, and that He sustains His creation and then invites us to participate with Him in reigning with Him over creation. As you think about your relationship with God, particularly your prayer life, I'd like you to challenge yourself to step forward this week. Add to it, grow, expand. If you haven't, you're not accustomed to pray, maybe set aside 15 minutes a week to pray, or 15 minutes a day to pray. To carve out some interrupted time and interrupted time? Yeah, we all need more interrupted time in our life, right? Lord, please give me more interruptions. Uninterrupted time and space to pray. To begin to ask God for what we need. I think when Jesus says, "You can ask anything in my name," He's not promising that anything we ask for, but that there's no limits on the types of things that we can bring to Him. Whether they're worries or cares or wants or desires or needs or hopes or dreams, all of it's willing is good stuff to put on the altar. And then to ask. As a faith community, I'm hoping that you'll join me in praying. Did you all get one of these? Praying for our community this week. It's a short, you could do this pretty without a lot of effort, but you'll need to be intentional about it. You'll need to set aside some time, whether it's in the morning or at lunchtime or in the evening, just a few minutes to be praying about your relationship with God, our relationship with God, and then Him blessing the people in our lives. So please, hope you'll take one of these. I'll also load these up to our Realm site so you can be able to find them there daily. God is a prayer-hearing God. So let's pray. Holy Lord, we thank You for Your boundless mercy. that you call us forward into your presence, and you promise yourself. Grant us the courage and the discipline we need to approach you this week. Amen.
And of course, thank you for listening. To find out more, check us out at storeschurch.org.